You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Right now I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Echo Base. This is episode number 50. We're halfway to triple digits. That's exciting. So, we have an exciting episode for everybody today. I have show notes. Yay! I came prepared for once. Well, I have half show notes. It's better than usual, but that's okay because I think we're going to not really need too much of the way to show notes once we get to our discussion this week. We're going to be discussing This Is Madness, the Star Wars-based March Madness brackets. We're going to be talking about our picks for that, or rather what we think the picks will be, or possibly both. But first, we have some news, and to get to the news, I'm going to introduce my co-hosts here. We have Chris. Chris, how you doing?
I am wonderful.
Awesome. Lou, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well.
Great. I'm Eric, as most people sadly already know. Sorry. Nothing I can do about that. By the way, you'll notice that we're still using the same intro for the show. That will change as of probably the end of the month. We have a plan for a new intro, and part of it's going to be based on some audio from The Force Awakens, so I want to wait until the digital copy of that comes out on April 1st, so by our first April show at the latest, we should have a new intro up and running, so bear with us with that. So, shall we jump into the news?
Sure.
All right. Well, don't sound too enthused there, Chris. Sure.
Well, hey, at least I replied.
Well, that's true, Lou.
That's true. Yeah, I was. I'm busy changing my bracket. I'm nervous now.
Oh, you should be. I don't know. I've got some issues. Well, we'll get to.
We'll talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, as everybody knows, award season is upon us. We just got done with the Academy Awards, and now we are moving into what is arguably the more important film awards, the MTV Movie Awards, to which I saw someone on Twitter today say they still have those. Yes. Yes, they apparently still have those. And The Force Awakens was nominated for 11 MTV Movie Awards.
Sweet.
Yes. Movie of the Year.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. Along with The Avengers, Age of Ultron, Creed, Deadpool, Jurassic World, and Straight Outta Compton. I'm going to tell you right now, Deadpool's going to win.
Figures.
Not that it should, but it will. Sorry. It's just how life is. Best True Story. Oh, no, I guess Star Wars wasn't nominated for that. Probably also not Best Documentary. Which is weird, because it documents a long time ago. Okay, anyway. Best Female Performance, Daisy Ridley was nominated. Breakthrough Performance, both Daisy Ridley and John Boyega, both nominated. So that's good news. They've got two out of the six nominations in that category. Let's see what else here. Best Action Performance, John Boyega. Best Hero, Daisy Ridley. Best Villain, Adam Driver. And let's see here. Best Virtual Performance, we have two. out of the six. Again, Andy Serkis and Lupita Nyong'o, whose last name I'm probably butchering. Ensemble cast. And let's see. And best fight between Rey and Kylo Ren. So, yeah, you know, we might have gotten snubbed at the Academy Awards, but we are represented properly at the awards that truly matter, based on the music television show that no longer really matters. But okay. Anyway, you guys don't seem quite as excited about that as I'm pretending to be.
I mean, to me, award shows are award shows. I mean, I don't know. You know, do we really care what a group of people think that we don't really know? You know, I don't know.
But, you know, I guess, and this sounds really silly because, I mean, the MTV Movie Awards, like most of the MTV Awards, are pretty ridiculous, really. But I guess there's a part of me that kind of feels that the MTV Movie Awards are a little more representative of the general audience than the Academy Awards, the way the Academy's set up with the voting and stuff. Basically, they're all just voting for each other.
True.
So you could argue, as ridiculous as it sounds, that the MTV Movie Awards are actually a little bit more representative. So I guess in that way, I am a little happier to see that Star Wars is getting a lot of representation there, because arguably it's speaking on behalf of a more mainstream audience.
Yeah, they're definitely more, I mean, I guess I would say accessible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not the stodgy old, you know, Hollywood kind of doing its thing. This is more representative of what I think the mass populace would think.
I think that's the case. I don't know exactly how the voting is handled, but.
Well, I thought these were fan voted.
I thought so too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they are. Which makes sense. It'd be more along the lines of what the popular vote would be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over at makingstarwars.net, they've got an article here. They're citing Variety, and it does say these are fan voted. So there we go. I think actually it's a public fan vote. I think you can actually go and vote yourself on this. It's not like they get a sampling that they select. I think you can go and vote. So please do speak up. Be heard.
Support your favorites.
Yes. Those of you who vote for Deadpool instead, I understand. I really do.
You're really trying your hardest, aren't you, Eric?
I'm just saying it was also a good good movie too. Yeah, let's see. Chat room, MTV. That's a U.S. thing, right? I heard a song about it once. Yeah. I think that's what do they have up in Canada? Much TV or Much Music? I think it was. Now, what I really want to know, Joel in the chat room, our resident Canadian, is if that's the case, if I'm remembering it correctly, do they still play music on that channel? Because our MTV here in the States basically does not. It's kind of an embarrassment now, the whole channel. But hey, if Viacom wants to keep sinking money into it, so be it. All right, moving on. We've got some Chewbacca news. Joel in the chat room says, I'm too old to know. That makes me feel a little bit better, I think. Except I think Joel and I are about the same age. But so Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, stated today, they had like a big Disney thing. I don't know if it was D23, if it was some other presentation. I'm not as plugged into the Disney community as I probably should be. I'll have to fix that. But he stated that the Han Solo anthology film, or rather the Han Solo, A Star Wars Story film that will be coming out in the future, is going to also co-star Chewbacca. Yes.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Yes, I know that's a shocker for everybody. I probably should have given a spoiler warning in advance. How can you say it makes sense? The movie's not titled Han Solo and Chewbacca. The movie's titled Han Solo.
And by solo, I guess it would be him by himself.
Yeah, it's right there in the name, Lou.
I should have picked up on that.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of like people getting upset about, you know, knowing that that Batman and Superman are going to be on the same side at the end of Batman v Superman, because, you know, it doesn't say it in the title like Dawn of Justice or anything, but, you know.
Right. Anyway. Well, it doesn't say versus, it says V. You know,
like the aliens from the old 80s TV show.
Exactly. And Superman is an alien. You see where we're going with this? Yeah.
Oh, cool.
They're trying to trick people. But in this case, I mean, it's pretty clear cut. It's Han Solo. It's not Han Solo and Chewbacca. So, you know, I know people weren't expecting this, but it turns out Chewbacca will also appear in the film, perhaps even prominently so.
Which, you know what that means? It means they're going to not give Chewie his own film. You know, I mean, come on, really?
Well, that's true.
You know, they could have done his own film. Been a lot of subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah, and
the first half of the movie, you know, on Kashyyyk, and we'd never understand anything anybody was ever saying.
You know, we've watched enough action movies throughout our lives where even when there was dialogue, it was nothing to write home about. I mean, look at all of the 1980s movies with Stallone and Schwarzenegger and, you know, all of the other action heroes we could name, Chuck Norris, Bruce Willis. I mean, really, would they have been that much worse on mute?
Are you telling me you weren't riveted by the dialogue in Cobra?
I wasn't riveted by anything in Cobra. I barely remember Cobra, except I know that...
He had a cool car. That's all I remember.
Yeah, there was a cool car. Stallone wore all black and sunglasses and a really bad haircut, and I think it had Bridget Nielsen in it. Because I think that's when they started dating.
I think you know more than I do then.
Well, that's, and none of that's really about the movie, so I think that says quite a bit, but, Han Solo is also getting his own comic book series.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Marvel Entertainment, I don't know if I am.
But really?
Yeah, we'll come back to that in just a second. I'm pulling this off of darkhorizons.com, a great site, by the way, if you don't check it out. Garth Franklin over there, runs a pretty good ship, but, Marvel Entertainment has announced a 5-part Han Solo comic book series, which is set to launch this summer. This is going to be set between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. And it's apparently going to, the quote here on Dark Horizons, the story will deal with the character coming to terms with being part of the Rebel Alliance. Now, Marjorie Liu, who is writing the series... Mark Brooks is doing the artwork, is comparing it to a space set Cannonball Run. And she says, it finally came together in the story where there's this infamous starship race. It's the pilot dream race. Everyone wants to be in it. Everyone dreams of winning it. The race is sort of a cover that will allow him to go on this mission for Leia. But at the same time, even though the race isn't a priority, it's a real struggle for him because he knows he needs to focus, but he's on the race of a lifetime.
Hmm.
Now, oh, and of course, Chewbacca will also be in it. Even though it's not called Han Solo and Chewbacca, it's just called Han Solo. But that's okay. That's okay.
You're really sure, bitter about Chewie not getting top billing here, aren't you?
No, I'm just... is Chewie going to have any effect at all on the race?
He's the co-pilot. Of course he's going to have
an effect on the race. So, in that case, don't you think that he should also be, you know... He's a co-pilot. He's not an assistant pilot. He's a co-pilot. He is one of the pilots. So, he should have title billing as well. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, Lou, you're looking forward to this. I've got some reservations. Chris, what do you think?
Basically, this is just another comic that I'm going to have to find money to buy.
I'm the like, sense I'm of resignation.
So, like, not caught up on the comics. Like, I don't think I've read one since maybe the end of November.
Yeah.
So, and I have... I pick them up at the comic store when they get them in, so they hold them for me. Mm-hmm. So I probably have just like a giant stack right now of comics that I need to buy. But
you know, yeah, Jay,
I can't say I'm up to date, but I do have them all waiting to be read on my iPad. So
Jay over at Jedi Journals would be very proud of me. I finally went to the comic book shop. There's one near where I work, and I picked up 3 trade paperbacks, and I got on a subscription list for them to start pulling the new Star Wars books as they come out.
Cool.
And I'm catching up, and I've also I'm a subscriber to Marvel Unlimited, which has a huge, massive selection of Star Wars comics, including not the entire Dark Horse run, but they're in the process of bringing all of those titles in. So there's quite a bit of the Dark Horse run, the entire original Marvel Comics run, and all of the new stuff with about, I think it's about a 6-month delay. So, for example, right now on Lando, they just released issue number 3. So I'm also catching up through there. So I'm getting there. But I don't know. This, to me, seems, all due respect to the writer, and maybe the actual writing for the book will be phenomenal, but it seems kind of contrived to me. Like, it's like, oh, okay, so he's a smuggler with a fast ship, so obviously we have to put him in a race. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the EU had him in a speeder bike race with Dengar, and that's how Dengar got all messed up, you know, back when they were younger. And, you know, I mean, there's all these references to, you know, Han Solo, you know, well, there's the Kessel run in less than 12 parsecs. And I know that's a distance thing, but it, you know, speed is involved, too, in order to build the momentum to not fall over the event horizon of the black hole, et cetera. I mean, it's, I don't know. The whole, you know, participating in a race or a contest while secretly undercover to pull off some mission thing, it just feels like it's been done so many times. I don't know. I'm a little worried about it. But Lou, you don't seem to share that
concern.
No,
I think that, I mean, well, if you discount the fact that maybe the other times we've done this have been in the EU, which is now Legends, you know, it's really the first time we've seen this.
Okay, so it's the first time we've seen it when it counts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I think it's a plausible way to bring this in and do a story about him. I mean, could there be a better way to do a Han Solo limited series? Sure. But, you know, this is what we're going to get. I think it could be handled well. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's only 6 issues, so it's not like it's going to be an ongoing book.
5 issues.
Issues. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, if it was an ongoing book, I think it lets you something different, but.
Yeah. I know. I know I'm not being fair to it. I'm really not, but
I think I'd rather see a story after Return of the Jedi if it's about Han, just because I'm kind of over the, I mean, I feel like you could put the Star Wars comic can just be the one that's in between A New Hope and Empire.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's the part where I feel like you could explore, you know, Han feel, you know, how he feels about joining the Alliance.
I'd
rather see this after Return of the Jedi if it's a standalone.
I feel the same way. I feel like we had a hiatus for so long on any sort of what I will now call expanded universe content. Not Legends, but like the new expanded universe, the new books and comics, the extracurricular activities beyond the films. And we had a dry spell where there was almost nothing released, and then what little did get released, it felt like all of it was set in the original trilogy time period, and it was all safe. We had Tarkin, which was, you know, don't get me wrong, Tarkin is great, and we had the Han Solo book, the Luke Skywalker book, the Princess Leia book, and I know 2 of those 3 weren't technically canon because of their release dates, but I mean, Lucasfilm knew they were being bought by Disney at that point. They'd already canceled some of the more ongoing titles like Sword of the Jedi, things like that. Then we had, I mean, A New Dawn was probably the closest we got to something that really felt like it was forward moving. Now we've got all these comic books that are also taking place back in the original trilogy. It's like we've got a whole new era of Star Wars, and I know we kind of had to wait a little bit for The Force Awakens, but like we're there now. Let's get to it.
I was going to say, I mean, how much of this is really, you know, they're holding back because they do have this whole wide open canvas to draw on, and they want to save some of it for what they're doing with movies, and maybe they've got some plans for what they've already, you know, got penned out, and you don't want to step on that. You don't want to mess it up with a comic book series that may interfere with that.
Okay. And that's an excellent point. And I'm sure that's exactly what they're doing. But then a part of me thinks back to the prequels. And we had a lead up to the prequels with Ki-Adi Mundi, with a big storyline that led up to the films there. I mean, we could have Maz Kanata. Is it Maz or Maz?
Maz.
Maz. Okay. Has been around for 1,000 years. I'm sure there are side stories we can learn about her. There are other people in the cantina there. We've already had a couple of short stories that, you know, you can pick up on eBooks pretty cheap. Let's spin some of those off into, I mean, heck, let's even adapt them into comic books. I don't care. I feel like we've got this whole new world of stuff. I mean, a lot of the stuff in The Force Awakens we've never seen before. I know a lot of people complain that, oh, it's just like a New Hope. But, I mean, Jakku is a planet that we've not really seen, and we know there's a big battle there, and I'm sure that they're going to handle that some other way, and that's fine. But there's Jakku. There's the planet with Maz's castle. There's the planet where Luke is, and I know they're not going to touch that. There's anything dealing with the First Order. There are all of those aliens. There are entire races that we've never seen before. Creatures on Jakku that we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I mean, what has stuff. Better chance of selling a 5-issue series about one of the aliens on Jakku or
blank pieces of paper
about Han Solo?
Blank pieces of paper with Star Wars, Journey to the Force Awakens at the top would probably sell.
You're probably right. However, when you get ready to play these things out, if you come to me with a story and I have a choice between a Han Solo limited run or a, who's the guy that was selling Ray the stuff? Unkar Plutt, is that his name? Plunk?
Yeah.
Or a story about him. What are you going to sell more? What are you going to take?
But Lou, were this, a decade ago, I would agree with you entirely. However, Marvel no longer sells outside the direct market. They no longer have the racks at 7-Eleven, the little spinner racks with the comic books that, you know, the kids wander in, they get a couple candy bars and a couple comic books, and they leave. Marvel only sells to the direct market now. So they're only selling directly to comic book stores, and whatever bookstores also pick up the comics. But, I mean, basically, unlike with films, the majority of the people purchasing comic books are actual comic book fans. And most of them are also actual Star Wars fans. And so you don't have to try so hard to fit yourself into such a safe demographic.
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, most of the people buying these comics are going to be collectors, and they're going to be taking everything. However, if you start putting enough stuff out that's just so obscure, maybe you're going to lose some of the people that are just casual fans.
I know. I just feel like if you just put out like a whole bunch of stuff that's all just kind of rehashing the same stuff and feels like it's spinning our wheels, then you're going to lose both casual and diehard fans. I mean, you're correct. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying. You're absolutely right. I just kind of feel like let's get on with it. Let's start moving forward. Let's get past Return of the Jedi and start filling it. There's 30 years worth of blanks. Yeah. It's not like there's 2 or 3 blanks here.
There's
like
30 years there, and there's other decades. Stuff we have to get the backstory filled in again that's been, changed by the fact that it's now, legend. I mean,
yeah,
I still want to know some of that stuff again, too. You know, what is Han's background? What is, what happened before Star Wars or A New Hope?
Lou, I have a question since you mentioned that. Would you, or do you think they should have, instead of wiping out the entire expanded universe, picked and choose books that they wanted to keep in, just so you wouldn't have to retell that story?
I think it would have been more convenient, but at the same time, if it helps them tell better stories going forward, I'm all in favor of them, doing what they did. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a problem with the fact that they took away the EU and made it Legends, because I can still enjoy those stories for what they were, and I'm also looking forward to new stuff if they have something new coming out that'll, fill in those holes for me. But I think Eric's right. Going forward, I really want to know what's going to be, you know, what takes place between Jedi and Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. And granted, we didn't get a lot of detail in The Force Awakens, kind of like we didn't get a lot of detail in The New Hope as far as what the universe was like.
Right.
So maybe they're waiting until they get, you know, Episode 8 out, which might fill in a little more detail for us, or maybe a book or two before that comes out up to that point. That'll help us.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm getting impatient. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it does seem like we've been waiting a long time for any new content in that gap period.
Right.
Because like I said, I mean, before Force Awakens came out, my big thing was I really want to know what the state of the galaxy is. And I still don't know. You know? It's still, I'm like, really? We didn't get a lot out of that. And what they gave us was kind of conflicting with what we kind of feel it should have been, or what the story led us to believe. You know, it doesn't feel like it fits right to me.
And I guess it would be a lot easier to let go of the Legends universe if we had something to fill those holes with. Like, mm-hmm. if we had something to say, okay, believe this instead of that, that's a lot easier than to say, okay, forget all of that other stuff you read, and then just, like, have a big blank.
Right.
Like, nothing happened. And that's harder to come to terms with.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know who said this, because I know I'm copying somebody, but I am going under the assumption of anything I read and liked, I will consider canon until it gets contradicted.
Yeah.
I know, but there's also a lot, as we get closer to The Force Awakens, we know just didn't happen. And so we know that there's a lot of, I mean, it's safe to assume that Darth Plagueis happened. There are some people who will even argue that the X-Wing books might not break canon. The Thrawn trilogy, it's probably a pretty solid bet that it does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Leia pregnant with twins, if nothing else. And then basically everything from that point on does to some extent, just because of the Solo kids, and then eventually Luke's relationship with Mara and everything. So we know that there's a certain point at which basically we have to discard the entire lot of books. So,
yeah. It'll be a lot easier once we get some more stuff, like you said, to fill in the gap. I mean, having that blank page right now is frustrating.
That's the hard part.
Yeah. But, you know, and I really want to know what happened in that time period. How did the rebellion come about? How did the rebellion turn into the resistance? You know, what is that new government that was formed? And it seems like it didn't take off very well because they're still kind of in hiding. And then you've got, you know, a faction of the Empire that has a weapon powerful enough to destroy them in one shot. So
and that's
what
I'm saying. Like, give us that and the Han Solo. I mean, I would rather wait on the Han Solo thing, but. Okay, you know what? I do have to pause for a moment. I have to retract some of what I'm saying. We are getting a Poe Dameron comic book. So, you know what? Now that I stop and think about it, I do have to backpedal a little bit. They are doing what we're talking about. So, yeah, I guess we're getting there.
Right. I mean, yeah. It you know, something like a Poe Dameron comic, that may fill in some details for us. I mean, comics don't typically give you a lot of backstory, but there could be a little bit of stuff about what his role is and where he gets his orders from, that, you know, that kind of thing, how they came about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's move on so we can get through the rest of the news and into our discussion for this week. There's one more piece of news, and this actually, I probably was burying the lead here in this episode. J.J. Abrams did an interview with Slash Film, and he explained something that a lot of people had an issue with at the end of Force Awakens. People have talked before about the similarities between The Force Awakens and A New Hope. And there's one big similarity that a lot of people feel was just not right. And that is that at the end of A New Hope, Luke Skywalker, savior of the rebellion, gets a medal. Han Solo, who came in and facilitated Luke's ability to be able to blow up the Death Star, also gets a medal. The other pilot of the Millennium Falcon got nothing. So, unfortunately, Chewbacca gets snubbed. At the end of Force Awakens, the team returns back to the forward resistance base, and Leia, long time friend, you could even say family friend of Chewbacca. I mean, they are truly a family of sorts. And you know, he comes back just had his best friend in the world die in front of him, executed. Comes up, sees Leia. Leia goes up and hugs Rey. Ignores Chewie. So once again, like with A New Hope, Chewbacca gets snubbed. So, J.J. Abrams has spoken up and explained this. And let's see. This has been covered on various different websites. I'm looking at io.9 at the moment. And again, this is from an interview with Slash Film. Abrams is explaining that basically it has to do with how he blocked out the shot. When we see Leia come up and embrace Rey, we see Chewbacca there, and Chewbacca kind of moves past Leia. J.J. Abrams says, had Chewbacca not been where he was, you probably wouldn't have thought of it. But because he was right there, passed by Leia, it felt almost like a slight, which was definitely not the intention. He goes on to say, that was probably one of the mistakes I made in that. My thinking at the time was that Chewbacca, despite the pain he was feeling, was focused on trying to save Finn and getting him taken care of. So I tried to have Chewbacca go off with him. And meanwhile, to focus on Rey, and then have Rey find Leia and Leia find Rey. The idea being that both of them, being strong with the Force and never having met, would know about each other. That Leia would have been told about her beyond what we saw on screen. And Rey, of course, would have learned about Leia. And that reunion would be a meeting and a reunion all in one, in sort of commiseration of their mutual loss. So that kind of explains the nature of the meeting between Leia and Rey. And of course, there's been a lot of speculation on what that means or what that doesn't mean. You know, were they feeling each other in the Force? Did they know each other? Did they not know each other? Are they related somehow, et cetera, et cetera? So this is an official explanation of what that was supposed to be representing. And then the entire absence of any greeting of Chewbacca. Apparently the intention was that Chewbacca was trying to help rush Finn to get medical attention, which does make sense. I mean, who else really is going to be? I mean, he got this big Wookiee there. I'm sure he's going to have the easiest time carrying a comatose body out to the medical stretcher faster than anyone else. So,
and plus he feels responsible because, you know, Finn helped him when he was hurt.
That's true. Yes.
So,
excellent point.
I have less of a problem with the fact that Chewie got slighted again. That I just feel like it's the part that took me out of the moment so much of that is the whole connection between Leia and Rey. They, you know, they call it a Force moment, sure, but they really didn't explain that. I mean, still so many questions about that. I just have, you know, does she know Rey? Does she feel, is it a Force connection where, hey, I know who you are now? You know, that whole thing still bothers me.
I don't know. I understand where it bothers people. It doesn't bother me, I guess, because it doesn't have to mean anything other than what it is.
Like, yeah, but it's got to mean something because it was enough to make them send her out to find Luke when they've been looking for him for years. You'd think, hey, you know, Leia would want to go. You know, she's distraught that she can't find him. She needs to find Luke. And now that they have a map, okay, yeah, why don't you go? I'll see him when he gets back.
Okay, so to be fair, and Lou, of all of the arguments I've heard about critiquing different aspects of The Force Awakens, that is by far probably the strongest argument for a plot hole that I've heard. So I'm right there with you. I totally get it. To play devil's advocate, we don't know how much time passed between them arriving there at the base, them discussing the next steps, I'm sure there was a discussion about who was going to be sent. I'm sure that there was a, I hesitate to use the word debriefing, but I'm sure Ray explained what happened on Starkiller Base. And, you know,
but you don't get any sense of that time. It feels to me in a movie like it just happened.
You don't get any sense of that time.
Here's the map and go.
Yeah, we have to kind of jump to the conclusion that some time had passed, some discussions had been had, and that there was a mutual agreement that she and Chewie be the ones to go. You're right. There wasn't really any sense of that time passing. And I mean, that's kind of a to its detriment. I don't know. I'm not a filmmaker. I wouldn't really know a good way to convey that. But, you know, there it is. So.
I mean, it feels like to me, and not to belabor the point anymore, but it feels like they could have taken, I don't know, 2 minutes of screen time to talk about a little bit of what's going on. That, you know, yeah, okay, that's why we're going to send you. I don't know. It just feels like for the lack of a minute or two or maybe 3 minutes of screen time, we could have solved this whole thing. And maybe it's a hole they don't want to fill because they want it to be a big reveal in episode 8 of who Rey is and why she's important, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think we get the feeling that, yeah, okay, she's important.
It's the last handful of minutes of the film, though. So it's dangerous if you start getting into exposition in the last, you know, 3 minutes of the film.
True. And, you know, maybe they're trying to save time because they didn't want to drag it out because they had that big scene with Luke coming up where he had that big, you know, speech he had to give.
And there were a lot of steps.
Oh, wait a minute. They didn't have a speech from him. Okay. I take that back.
He was still winded. You know, Luke Skywalker's no spring chicken. There were a lot of steps going up that hill. I know that Rey gave him a head start and that was very considerate of her, but I wouldn't feel like giving a speech after doing that. I don't know about you. Oh, well.
Does it elaborate on it in the novelization? Any?
I don't know. Unfortunately, no. The novelization was written by Ellen Dean Foster, so I still haven't gotten to it.
I was going to go back and listen to the whole thing again, but I haven't done it yet. I really should. Because there wasn't a ton of extra stuff in the novelization that made me think, oh, okay, that makes more sense now, you know? I didn't have any of those epiphany moments that went like, oh, okay, perfect. I'm glad I read the book now, you know?
Yeah. Which, in a way, I think is a little bit disappointing. We did get that from the prequels, but then I guess it's good in the sense that we didn't really need it in this film necessarily. I mean, yeah, there are still questions we want answered, but they're not questions about things not making sense. They're questions about wanting more details and more information. So...
Well, you know, and I read the book going into this thinking how much you especially, Eric, have just gushed over how good the novelizations were for the prequels and how much better it made the stories. And I'm like, perfect. And I got to the end and I went, yeah, okay, nothing there.
Yeah. Well, I was also really upset that the novel wasn't being released until after the film because I wanted to read the novel in advance because I felt like it worked for me with the prequels. It worked so well. I was able to... I know there are people out there who are screaming hypocrite at me right now, but I was able to enjoy the prequels, especially the second and third ones, in a way that a lot of my friends couldn't because, like Anakin's turn, it made sense to me. The love story between Anakin and Padme made sense to me because I had that extra information going into it, and now I'm seeing it play out on the screen and can enjoy seeing, you know, what I had read. Fortunately, I didn't really like I would not have gotten any benefit of reading the novelization before seeing The Force Awakens.
No.
So it ended up working out okay despite my complaints. So that's good. Anyway, we should move on to the discussion portion of this episode. If anybody has any comments on any of the news stories, and I'm sure people will. We want you to email us. We want you to tell us what you think. You can contact us at echobase@randomchatter.com. That's going to be the best way to contact us. And we are saving all of these up. We've got a bunch saved up already, too. We are going to be doing a listener feedback show. We wanted to kind of put it off for a few episodes because, of course, we're just getting started up on the Random Chatter Network and kind of establishing a base of operations here, if you will. So, but that is coming. And we definitely are looking forward to hearing what people have to say. about these, especially about, you know, Chewie being snubbed. Poor guy. But we should move on to This Is Madness. Of course,
that's
every year.
Right.
Yes. StarWars.com releases their brackets for those of us who are not into sports, like myself. So the way this breaks down is this is going to be starting I don't have the show note windows up, but March 14th.
March 14th, yep.
It'll be going through April 5th. And the fans will get to choose in each of these different pairings. There's a light side and a dark side. And with each level of the bracket, different players will be eliminated. And until we're down to just the last two. And then there will be a winner and a loser. There will be a winner and a bunch of losers. last year, Yoda won, didn't it? Didn't it? Didn't
he? Vader won last year, yeah.
Yoda was the year before that then, I think. So Vader was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been looking forward to this year because, of course, we have an entire new movie.
Right.
And Rebels was around the previous bracket. Didn't do quite as well as we'd hoped, but this year we've got...
they're all brand new characters, too, so now I've had
right.
a whole year with them since then.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I don't like some of the pairings. Some of the pairings, you know, it's...
Yeah, they're really hard.
They always have been, it seems like, but this year especially, there are some that are just, like, really...
Well, I mean, yeah, some of the pairings, I don't know if you want to get into this now or not, but some of them, especially on the light side,
yeah.
you know, you get characters that you were just coming into their own now. They're starting to get some traction as far as being a character that I like and want to see do well. But, like, you know, you pair them against, you know, an old favorite from the original trilogy. It's like, okay, that's not going to work. You know, it's like R2-D2 versus Sabine.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sabine doesn't have a chance. I mean...
Well, let's
go ahead
and... Is
R2 my favorite character? No, but, it's just...
Yeah. It's really frustrating. Well, we're going to break it down into basically four sections here. Part one and part two of the light side and part one and part two of the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
So here are, I'm going to read off the contestants and then we'll go through and we'll discuss them and pick them as we go through. And we'll talk about the fact that some of these really don't feel like fair pairings at all. So in the first quarter here, we have Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Padme Amidala, R2-D2 versus Sabine Wren, Luke Skywalker versus Harrison Dula, and Han Solo versus Chewbacca. And, of course, as we've seen over and over again in the Star Wars saga, Han Solo will always win and Chewbacca will always lose.
Poor Chewie.
Poor Chewie. I tell
you. No medal, no hug.
No shirt, no shoes, no medal. Yeah.
No wit in the bracket.
All right. So Obi-Wan versus Padme. Chris, what's your take on this? Now, here's the thing. You can choose whether you want to talk about who you predict will win, who would be your favorite to win, or both. However you want to do it is fine. Just I want each of us to be consistent all the way through. So, Chris, tell us how you're choosing and then what your choice is.
I am choosing based on personal preference. But also kind of who I think will win, but mostly personal preference, who I plan to vote for, pretty much. So when it comes to Obi-Wan and Padme, I'm obviously choosing Obi-Wan because he is, I hesitate to say favorite character because of The Force Awakens, I might have a new favorite character.
Okay.
But right now I'm picking Obi-Wan because favorite.
Okay. I will agree with that. I'm also picking Obi-Wan. I have never had any problem with the Padme character. Even when I felt she wasn't used that well in episode 3, I always still appreciated the character. And I knew that as a character, she was a character I really liked. That being said, I think probably not just from the prequel movies, though he was my favorite character there, but also as a result of the entire Clone Wars series, Obi-Wan has become one of my favorite characters in Star Wars. So he's going to be my obvious pick here. Lou, what do you think?
Well, before I do my pick, I got both brackets going here. I've got my prediction for what I think will win.
Okay.
You know, overall from popular vote, and also my own personal picks. And strangely enough, my end result is the same.
Okay.
At the end of the day, but there's a few differences along the way. In this case, you know, like you guys said, I'll pick Kenobi as well. I think just stronger character. I think more. There's been more story about him, you know, both in the the comics, the TV shows, and in the movies. I just think he's a stronger character.
Yeah. All right, so we all seem to be in agreement there.
Mm-hmm. And I picked him on both sides, both my personal and my popular vote thing.
Okay. All right. Yeah, same here. I think that one's going to be a pretty easy. I think that one's going to be a pretty easy pick. I'm going to say it's probably going to be about 70% Obi-Wan when the numbers come in. This next one, though, this is rough. This is for me personally, this is probably one of the roughest choices. R2-D2 versus Sabine.
Right.
Now, as far as Rebels, Sabine is one of my favorite characters. I'm partial to Mandalorians. I like her as a character. I also like the nature of her identity as a person, like the whole the artistic, almost. I mean, she's almost like a punk character in Star Wars. It's something you don't really see, and that's another thing. Just the fact that she is very unique as a Star Wars character. I really, really love Sabine. My problem is R2-D2 is one of my favorite all time fictional characters. Period. So, like, Sabine would get really, really far in my bracket, and yet here she's going to get knocked off right in her first battle here. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like R2-D2 is such a favorite by so many people that I feel like this is one of those where it's really not a fair pairing. Like, I would have rather have seen R2-D2 versus BB-8. Or something like that, because if you're the type of person who really likes droids over the humans anyway, there's a point at which you should have to narrow it down to your favorite droid going forward. And I think that would have been a fairer pairing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say people in general are going to go with R2. As far as my personal vote, I almost just want to abstain on this one, but I'm man, I really want to just abstain, honestly. Chris, what do you think on this one? What's your pick?
As much as I love R2, I'm going to go with the upset and predict Sabine.
Nice.
Just because she is... I will probably go ahead and say that she's my favorite Rebels character. Her and Chopper are up there, followed by Zeb. I honestly think she has a chance of doing well. I think if you know, if the Sabine fans come out to vote, then she might pull the upset.
It would be nice. Mm-hmm. I would be, listen, this is one of the few times where I would be happy, at least content, to see R2-D2 lose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lou, what do you think?
Well, I mean, as much as I like R2-D2, I like him less in the prequels than I did in the original trilogy. So that kind of tempers me a little bit, being not as pro R2 as I was before, I guess. That being said, though, popular vote, definitely R2. He's going to win that one hands down. But on my own personal bracket, I took Sabine.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, because she is that unique character. I like her playfulness. I like the fact that she does the spray painting on stuff, both her own people's stuff and enemy stuff. I think it's just cool. You know, it's just a nice, neat little difference that you don't see in a lot of characters.
And she's very skilled at what she does. She's very competent, and yet she's also not overpowered. She's not like this fantastically powerful character that's unrealistic either. Like, she's
and yet we had that recent episode where we got to see her interact with Mandalorians, and it was a really good episode and showed how she is strong, and she is really, you know, embracing of the Mandalorian culture. And that was a real good eye opener for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's a great character.
She's had some really good character development this season.
Yes, finally. And it's kind of tough with her and one of the next pairing, because it seems like there's so much that's focused on Ezra and Kanan that it's hard to get much from Sabine and Hera, who is up against Luke Skywalker here. And this is another one that I feel like, okay,
yeah, another not fair pairing.
Talk about not fairing. not fair pairing. I mean, we've got the one of the quintessential heroic icons of the last several decades of pop culture, of entire generations. I mean, if you look at most of the marketing for Star Wars, especially the first movie, it's all Luke Skywalker. There are a gazillion different versions of action figures for him. All of us from my generation growing up, everybody wanted to be Luke Skywalker. I mean, he was the hero in fiction. And just like Vader was the villain. And even now we're returning back to a forward moving storyline, and the big reveal in The Force Awakens is getting to see Luke at the end. And a lot of the questions are what's going on with Luke, and even the questions about what's going on with Rey. Is she related to Luke? Luke is so at the heart, at the epicenter of everything that is Star Wars. And then you have Hera, who's one of my favorite characters, but nowhere near as epically critical to the saga as Luke. How do you I want to know who made these pairings.
I know. Well, yeah, I mean, typically in brackets, it's always, the highest seed against the lowest seed in every round, so that you always have, it's highly unusual you're going to have a 16th seed come through in the brackets. The first round is usually all the better teams moving ahead. I don't know if they paired it this way or not. It does kind of look that way a little bit, but, who knows? The first round, you usually see a really strong team against a really weak team. In this case, a really strong character against a weak character. But, I don't know how they paired these up.
Yeah,
maybe it was random.
Well, Lou, you go first this time. What do you think, Luke Skywalker or Hera Syndulla?
It's tough. I mean, I've got Luke Skywalker as my lock screen on my phone. He put his arm around me and we took a picture. And yet, I didn't get a hug from Vanessa Marshall, so I have to go with Luke. As much as it pains me, I mean, if Vanessa had hugged me at Celebration or maybe at New York Comic Con this fall, I can change my mind. But
poor guy.
I know. See?
As someone who has been hugged by Vanessa Marshall, let me tell you.
Yeah, I know. How many times are you going to count these again? Are you?
Oh, I don't have to go back and count, though I often take the opportunity to do so.
So it's been so few hugs you can count them. Okay, I see.
But it doesn't have to be a lot of hugs. It's not about the quantity. It's about how powerful each individual hug is. One hug from Vanessa Marshall renders all the other hugs in your life just like meaningless. So, really, how many do you need?
See if I can change this, yes.
And I can tell you the correct answer to that question is four.
Four, okay.
Yes, four. Four hugs from...
So, but no, in all seriousness, both my chart and on the prediction chart, I did pick Luke. I think that I don't think they've used Hera enough in Rebels to be, a stronger character. I think they've kind of left a lot on the table. They should do more with her. I mean, she is really, in my opinion, when you watch the Rebels TV show, she is a bus driver. She takes them place to place, and that's it. She's not involved in the stories as much as I'd like
Lou,
to see her.
I got to call you out on that.
Well, come on.
Well, she's okay. So she's not the focal point of a lot of the episodic parts of the story, but she is also their main liaison to the rebellion. She is the one who is coordinating a lot of the stuff behind the scenes. She is the one who's interacting.
Well, I'm not saying she's
regarding
not
the battle plans,
but in terms of what they've shown of her on the show. It's not exciting stuff. It's necessary. I mean, she is definitely the person in charge of that ship.
Okay, so she's not gotten much exposure on the show. I concur completely.
So that's why I've got to hold her back and let Luke take this one on both my chart and on the popular vote chart.
All right. Chris, you're up.
This one was a hard pick, but... Be it sports or Star Wars, I always like to have a Cinderella type person. So I picked Hera.
How does that work with sports and glass slippers? I mean, I'm not like a sports guy.
I knew we were going to have to explain this to Eric. I just knew it. I knew we were going to have to go
well,
there.
I mean, which sport? Like with ice skating, it might work, right? Because with hockey and... Because if it's glass, if you slip, it's like, well, you're on ice. You're going to slip anyway.
Should we just bypass?
I'm sorry. The Cinderella thing. Yeah, go on.
He's not going to get that. I know he's not.
I'm trying. My wife says I'm very trying.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris, so elaborate.
I picked Hera because I feel like even though I love Luke and I love Mark Hamill, Mark, if you're listening, this is nothing against you, but I feel like people are a little tired of Luke always winning everything. Yeah. So I think that they might come out and vote for Hera.
Hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Hmm.
We shall see.
I am going to predict that Luke is going to win. I think there are still far more people who are probably going to be voting on this that have a stronger emotional link with Luke than with Hera. That being said, much like with the previous one, my personal pick would be Hera. I'm going to go with Hera on this one. I feel like she is, she does play an epic role in the rebellion. From start to finish, and not that we know what the finish is, but I mean, she is so entwined in the goings on of the rebellion against the Empire, and not that Luke also obviously is not an epic character and an epic hero, but I'm much more interested in learning more about Hera, and maybe it's just because I feel like I already kind of know all there is about Luke, or all I'm interested to know about Luke, even though most of that's been erased, Lou, as you pointed out earlier. I'm going to have to go with Hera. I like her character. It has nothing to do with the fact that Vanessa hugged me at Celebration.
Here we go.
And it's not like I asked her for a hug or anything. I introduced myself. She recognized me from the show, and she came over and hugged me. And I'm like, wait, I got to get a picture of us hugging. And then so she hugged me for the picture. They took the picture, and then she immediately turned toward me and hugged me again, like a post-hug. Just saying.
Is he still talking? Because I muted that for a second. I'm sorry.
All right. Next up.
So next up, yes.
Okay. Han Solo versus Chewbacca. Chris, it's your turn to go first.
I've got Han. Sorry, Chewie, but you just can't beat Han Solo. Well, you can beat Han Solo, as we will see later in my bracket. But but in this case, I've got to go with Han, just because I feel bad that he died in The Force Awakens, so this is kind of...
he's getting the pity vote. Okay.
Yeah, this is the pity vote.
See, and this is interesting, because this particular matchup, you could argue that either of them could get the pity vote. You've got Han Solo in the fact that he dies, but then you've also got Chewbacca in the fact that, well, you got Han Solo versus Chewbacca. The guy versus his sidekick, basically, is how a lot of people look at this. Mm-hmm. So... I would argue Chewbacca is just as likely to get the pity vote. That being said, on a personal level, I think, if I recall correctly, I had Han Solo at least go all the way to the final round in my last 3 years of personal picks. So I would feel like a little bit of a hypocrite if I didn't pick Han Solo. I've always loved Chewbacca, but like not on the same level as the other characters. So yeah, for me it's Han Solo, and I predict that's what most people will choose to. Lou, what do you think?
Same. Yeah, I picked Han for the popular vote, and I picked Han for my vote as well too.
Okay. So while this quarter here is fresh in our heads, let's go ahead and narrow these down to a final candidate. So for Obi-Wan versus Padme, we all picked Obi-Wan. For R2 versus Sabine, we all thought R2 would win, but we all, on a personal level, picked Sabine. So, first of all, looking at who we think is going to win between Obi-Wan and R2-D2, what do you guys think? Lou, we'll start with you.
I've got R2.
Okay, Chris?
Obi-Wan.
Interesting. I'm going to go with R2. And then on personal picks between Obi-Wan and Sabine, Lou, what do you think?
Personal picks, I picked Sabine.
Chris?
Wait, we're doing personal?
Yep, personal, between Obi-Wan and Sabine.
Sabine.
Okay, and I also will choose Sabine. All right, between Luke versus Hera, Chris, you thought Hera might actually pull it out in the popular vote,
yes.
If I'm correct. Okay, Lou, you and I both thought that Luke would take it.
Yeah.
I picked Hera as my personal vote, though. You picked Luke, is that correct?
Yeah, no, I have Luke on both charts.
Okay. And putting a pin in that for the moment, between Han and Chewie, we all three of us picked Han, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So, Lou, I want you to pick between Luke and Han.
Let's see. Luke and Han, I have Han both times.
Okay. And then, Lou, between Han and... For the popular vote between Han and R2?
Han.
Okay. And between Han and Sabine for your personal picks?
I did Han, yep.
Okay. So you've got Han going all the way to the final four.
I do, yep.
Okay. Chris.
Yes.
For your personal picks, yeah. You chose, well, actually, for both your personal and for the predicted, you picked Hera, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Hera versus Han.
Hera.
Interesting. Okay. For popular choice, Hera versus R2?
Hera versus R2. Oh, okay. Never mind. I got confused. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Did you? Yeah, R2. You said that R2 would win between R2 and Obi-Wan for popular vote, right?
No, I said Obi-Wan.
Oh, okay. So, between Hera and Obi-Wan?
Obi-Wan.
Okay. And for your personal picks, you chose Obi-Wan and Sabine, and who did you have between those two?
Obi-Wan.
Okay. And so you're taking Obi-Wan all the way to the final four.
Correct.
Okay. Wow. All right. So for popular pick, between Obi-Wan and R2, I think I picked R2, between Luke and Han, I'm going to say Han. And between R2 and Han, you know, because of The Force Awakens, I'm probably going to say Han. For personal picks, I would have Sabine winning over Obi-Wan, I think. Partially just because of the style of the character. Between Hera and Han... Man, that's another one that I just don't think is fair, because I really want to pick Hera. And I'd have a hard time not picking Han. You know, I think I would go with Hera in this case. And between Hera and Sabine, I would probably still choose Hera.
So you're going to have Hera in the final four?
For my personal
That's
picks, yes. For, wow, I'm going to have Han for the popular pick.
Wow, he is really sucking up.
Listen, Hera is smart. She's a good leader. She's an effective leader, and she's an incredible pilot. And if I had to go between the pilot and the mercenary, it would be a tough choice. And it is a tough choice for me between Hera and Sabine. And smugglers, too. I mean, it's a tough choice between Hera and Han, but... I think between Hera and Han, partially just to pick something different than I always pick.
Okay.
And then between Hera and Sabine, like for me, it'd be like a 51% versus 49%. So it'd be pretty close.
Okay.
Moving on to the next section here.
The next section. Yeah.
We've got Yoda versus Finn, Ahsoka versus BB-8, Rey versus Ezra, and Leia versus Poe. Chris, we're going to start over with you again. Yoda versus Finn.
Gotta go with Finn.
Yeah, both for popular and your personal?
Yes, I think that enough people liked Finn in The Force Awakens that they will vote him through.
Okay.
Okay.
I will also go with Finn. I think that he really worked as a character. I think people really enjoyed him as a character. I was a little worried that as a former stormtrooper, he might come across as a little bit shallow of a character. But I found him really relatable, and I think a lot of other people did too. And again, I'm going to go with the stale factor on Yoda. I'm not saying he smells stale, though he probably does. I'm saying that, you know, again, Yoda's just been around for so long. I think people are
thinking moldy,
fresh. He does look kind of moldy, doesn't he?
Yeah,
wrinkly and green.
He lives in the swamp. It's always damp, you know.
Lou, what do you think?
For the popular vote, I took Yoda just because I think he does have that appeal that people will vote for him.
Okay.
And on my personal chart, I took Finn.
All right.
Because I like Finn. I think Finn is, you know, newer, like you said, fresher, upcoming. I like him. He's my choice. He's my go-to guy for this side.
Okay.
This matchup.
All right. Another tough one. Ahsoka versus BB-8. I'll go first this time. I think that the popular vote on this one's going to be really hard. Ahsoka has such a dedicated, loyal fan following, and with good reason. And yet so does BB-8. My personal pick is going to be BB-8, just because I am an avid BB-8 fan. A collector of practically anything that's BB-8. Personal is easier, I think, than the popular vote in this one. I think this is going to be kind of a wild card. It could go either way. I'm probably going to have to say Ahsoka.
For your personal?
No, for the popular vote. Personal is BB-8. I think Ahsoka is going to win the popular vote, though.
Interesting.
So, Lou, you're up next. What do you think?
I took BB-8 in both the popular and my personal. And the personal was a lot tougher than the popular. I really wanted to take Ahsoka because I like her character. I like what happened to her at the end of Clone Wars, and I love what they're doing with her in Rebels. But there's just so much out there for BB-8 right now. I don't think there's any way she'd win the popular vote. And personal level, I've been drawn to BB-8. He's just kind of cool and different. You know, whereas I said I was kind of disenfranchised by R2 in the prequels, BB-8's kind of picked up and said, okay, now he's my go-to droid. He's the droid I want to have on my side.
Okay.
So both popular and personal, BB-8.
Chris, Ahsoka versus BB-8.
Well, this was a really tough choice because, well, first of all, I was trying to think of, okay, what are the fans going to vote for? And I know there are a lot of Ahsoka fans, but there's also a lot of BB-8 fans. So I think, like you said, Eric, this is a true wild card. I had to vote personally for BB-8. And that is because he had the thumbs up moment in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And I absolutely cannot stand Ahsoka as a character in the Clone Wars.
Wow.
Wow. No,
I like that.
That's
Ahsoka.
Chris at randomchatter.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. No love for Ahsoka. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I love her in Rebels.
Okay. Fair enough.
Not in the Clone Wars.
So,
like, she is the reason why I'm not really into that. Or one of the reasons why I'm not really into that show. So.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay. So, for the popular vote, which one do you think is going to be?
Ahsoka.
Okay.
I think her return to Rebels really ignited a flame.
Yeah.
But I won't at all be surprised if BB-8 wins. I just think it'll be Ahsoka.
Yeah. Okay. I would argue this may be the closest, at this level of the brackets, this could be the closest race of any of these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lou, you're up next. Rey versus Ezra.
This is another tough one for me. Again, a bad pairing, if I would say so. You know, Rey, obviously really popular for The Force Awakens. People have been clamoring for a strong female character, and we've got one now. Ezra, because I think he's the heart of Rebels. He's what kids are looking up to. It's what they all want to be. He's the Luke Skywalker character of Rebels, if you ask me. So let's see here. If I pick on popular vote, I am going to say, where's my notes here? I'm going to say Rey's going to take that popular vote just because of the success of The Force Awakens, how many people have seen her. I think there's no way she's going to lose that battle.
Yeah.
There. And on my personal side, I got to go the same way. I mean, I like Rebels. I really wish these Rebels characters weren't paired up against, you know, powerhouses from the rest of the saga,
yeah,
so that you could do better. But I had to pick Rey both times.
Hmm. Okay. Chris.
I have Rey for both personal and who I think will win. And if she doesn't, I will be like just shocked.
Yeah.
So I think Lou really said the reasoning. I mean, I like Ezra, but he hasn't developed enough, in my opinion, in the show to really have a fighting chance. And Rey is just, you know, she's so awesome.
Yeah. I agree. I think that this could be one of the easiest battles in the brackets. I think that Rey, well, there's one other coming up here that I think is pretty much a hands down. I love Rey as a character. Rey is probably, and I really was not expecting this. Rey is probably one of my favorite characters in the entire Star Wars universe, including the Legends universe. Really, it's just I didn't think that they would so effectively create a strong lead character that I would get attached to so quickly. I figured no matter who the characters are, the new crew coming in, that it was going to take a few movies for me to really warm up to them. And much like with BB-8, where, you know, the first time I saw BB-8, I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And now I'm obsessed with BB-8. Same thing with Rey. I just Rey all the way. So that's my personal pick. And I think that, like you guys said, Rey is pretty much the top contender for the popular pick as well. Finally, we have the Rebellion / Resistance characters, Leia versus Poe. Chris, you're up again. Between Leia and Poe, what do you think?
Gotta go with my man, Poe.
Okay.
First of all, he's a pilot. And he has an awesome X-Wing. So that's just two reasons right now to vote for him. And Leia, I like Leia, but this is one of those upsets, again, that you really wouldn't expect. But after it happens, you're like, okay, I can see it.
Yeah.
So...
So you think that the popular vote will be Poe as well?
I'm going to go with yes, because he's a new character.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm up next. I agree. I think this is another one where the stale factor is going to be an issue. I think that Poe is, again, Poe is kind of a surprise character in The Force Awakens. My understanding is originally he was going to not have survived the film. And now instead he's a fan favorite. For me, on a personal level, he is kind of a replacement for Wedge Antilles. And I really like the character as his own character as well, not just as a Wedge knockoff, but I loved the subtle humor that he brought to The Force Awakens. The sarcasm, the dry wit, I loved that. And I hope we see a lot more of him in the upcoming films. Both personally and popular vote, I think Poe's going to take it. Lou, what's your opinion?
You guys have made a lot of good comments, and I don't really have anything else to add to those. So on the popular vote, I'm going to differ. I'm going to say it's Leia, just because I think she's, you know, a fan favorite. She's come back in The Force Awakens, and, you know, now she's a widow, so you know they're going to be a sympathy vote for her. So she'll take the popular vote, but on my personal chart here, I do have Poe taking it.
All right. So once again, let's have you go through the brackets here. We had Yoda versus Finn and Ahsoka versus BB-8. Let's have you go through and finish them off.
Let's see. I took where am I looking here? Okay, so on the popular chart, I have Yoda. Again, I think he's just going to, you know, take that against BB-8. I took BB-8 for the popular vote.
Okay.
In Yoda BB-8. And in, let's see, Rey and Leia on the popular vote, I took Rey. And then on my personal chart, let's see here, Finn in BB-8, I took BB-8. I don't think there's any way we're going to stop the juggernaut that's BB-8. And between Rey and Poe, I took Rey.
Okay. And then moving up to the next tier then?
Let's see. Between next tier, we have...
let's do all of the personal one and then all of the popular one.
Okay. So the next tier on the personal one then is BB-8 and Rey. And again, I just don't think we can stop BB-8. So I'm going to take BB-8 going into the final four.
Okay.
And then on the popular chart, again... I ended up with Rey and Leia. Rey took that over Leia, so it's BB-8 versus Rey, and BB-8 takes it again.
All right, so you've got BB-8 in the final four.
On both the final four for both my personal and on the popular chart.
All right. Chris, what about you? Let's go through, pick either personal or popular and go all the way through and then do the other one.
All right, so I think the only difference between the personal and popular for me was... I picked BB-8, and I think Ahsoka will win. So first, I will do popular. I think Finn will beat Yoda. So Finn will be matched up against Ahsoka. I think Finn will win that. And then down at the bottom, you have Rey, who I think will win, and Poe. I think Rey will beat Poe, and then Rey will beat Finn. So Rey will be in the final four.
Okay.
And as for my personal picks, I have Finn beating Yoda and BB-8 beating Ahsoka. I have BB-8 beating Finn. And then down at the bottom, I have Rey beating Ezra and Poe beating Leia. Rey beating Poe and then Rey beating BB-8 to get to the final four.
Huh. Interesting. Chris, I think I have the same exact picks as you. For my personal, I had Finn up against BB-8. And I think BB-8 would win that. And for Rey versus Poe, I had Rey. And then Rey versus BB-8, I would pick Rey. That would be for my personal. And for the popular, I think I had Ahsoka as winning out on that. So it'd be Finn against Ahsoka. And again, I think Finn would win. Again, it would be Rey versus Finn, and I think Rey would win. So, interesting.
Cool. Uh-huh.
Now, for the end of the light side, Lou, let's finish it out.
Okay, so in a popular vote, I would have my final four on that side is Han versus BB-8. And I took BB-8 to beat the old Han Solo. And on my personal chart, I have the same listing. I have Han and BB-8, and I took BB-8.
Okay. Chris?
For both personal and popular, I believe I have Obi-Wan and Rey in the final four, and I, for both, pick Rey.
All right. I had, let's see, for popular, I had Han versus Rey, and I'm going to choose Rey. And for personal, I had Hera versus Rey, and I'm also going to choose Rey.
Oh, so I'm the only one taking BB-8 to the finals, huh?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's hard because I don't necessarily think you're wrong. I mean, BB-8 is, I think, one of the most popular characters in this entire competition.
Know, who else has a, you know, what other character has a robotic, you know, little controllable iPhone thing? I mean,
if I had a little Rey action figure that I could control with my iPhone, then... I would feel very creepy, but yeah, I would still have
a whole
one
different podcast. Yeah.
I would never admit it on the podcast. All right, Darkseid. We can probably crank through this a little faster, which is good because we're running a little long.
A little long, sure.
Yeah, so let's see. Who are we on? I think I'm up next. Darth Vader. I'm just going to read through them real quick. In this quarter, we have Darth Vader versus the fifth brother, one of the Inquisitors. We have the seventh sister versus Jabba the Hutt. We have Palpatine versus Asajj Ventress and Darth Maul versus Tarkin. For me personally, on this first one, I think it's a no-brainer for both my personal vote and the popular vote. I think Darth Vader easily beats out the fifth brother. I think this is probably the easiest matchup in the competition.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right. So, Lou, you're up next. Do you agree?
Yes, wholeheartedly.
Okay. Chris?
Vader.
Okay. All right. Seventh Sister versus Jabba the Hutt. Lou, you're up next.
I got to take the Seventh Sister. I mean, I think it's a great new character. I've never been a huge fan of Jabba. You know, so, I mean, I don't think Jabba's that menacing or anything, so it never really struck as, ooh, he's an evil crime lord. So, yeah, I'll pick the Seventh Sister.
Okay. Chris?
Given that I think that Jabba the Hutt is the equivalent of Donald Trump, I'm going to go with Seventh Sister.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
To back up a little bit, Lou, is that both a personal and popular vote?
Yes, it is, actually.
Okay. Chris?
Yes, both personal and popular.
Okay. I'm going to go with Seventh Sister for my personal. Popular, I don't know if she would win, but I'm just going to toss a coin and say that I think she will, too. So I'll pick her for that as well.
Okay.
Next up, we have Palpatine and Asajj. Chris, it's back to you.
This one is a little tricky, or it has the potential to be tricky, just because I think Asajj Ventress has a kind of a cult fan following that she could pull off the upset here, but I've got to go with Palpatine.
Okay. So is that your personal or popular or both?
Both.
Okay. I have never liked Asajj, so personally I'm going to go with Palpatine. As far as popular vote, I agree with you. I think it's a little tougher. Asajj got to be really well developed in the Clone Wars. And Palpatine, I never really felt like he got that well developed there, and yet he's yeah, you know, for the sake of expediency, I'll say Palpatine for the popular vote too. Lou, what about you?
I'm in the same, both popular and personal. Palpatine takes it.
All right. Darth Maul versus Tarkin. I think I'm up next. I'm going to go with Darth Maul for my personal pick. Man, this is another one where I could see the popular vote going either way. I'm going to go with Darth Maul for the popular vote, too. I think that there was far more done with him in Clone Wars that people really connected with. He's been teased for Rebels. I think that's going to be really interesting. I think a lot of people are looking forward to that. Tarkin had a great novel, and I think that did a lot to develop his character, and I feel bad not picking him, but I'm going to go with Darth Maul on both on this one. Lou, what about you?
I took Maul both as well, too. I think that, you know, Tarkin doesn't have enough new fans to really get behind him to make it win a popular vote. And I just love the Maul character. I wish they did more with him. So personally, I picked Maul as well.
Joel in the chat room says, Maul doesn't have a leg to stand on. Oh, boy. Chris, go for it.
This one was hard, but I'm going to choose Darth Maul. And the only reason I'm choosing Darth Maul is because in the mail this weekend, I had waiting for me an autograph from Ray Park.
Nice.
So, nice.
Okay. And you're going to go with both on that?
Yes.
All right. So it looks like did we all pick the same things?
Yes,
I think we did. All right, so
I
Lou.
I think so, yeah.
Vader versus the Seventh Sister.
Vader. both personal and popular.
All right. Palpatine versus Darth Maul.
Popular, I took Palpatine, and my personal, I took Maul.
All right. Go ahead and finish it out.
So for the popular, Vader versus Palpatine, I think Vader takes it. He is a defending champ after all. And personal, Vader versus Maul, as much as I like Maul, I still have to take Vader. I think he's a stronger, badder character. So Vader hits my final four.
All right. Chris, what about you? Vader versus the Seven Sister.
For personal and popular, I have Vader going through.
All right. Palpatine versus Maul.
Gotta go with Darth Maul for the personal, and then popular is going to be Palpatine.
All right. And then wrapping it up?
For popular, Vader and Palpatine, Darth Vader. For personal, Vader and Maul, Darth Maul.
All right. I, too, would choose Vader over the Seven Sister for both. I'm going to choose Darth Maul over Palpatine for both, though. Both for my personal and for the popular. And between Vader and Darth Maul, I never really got into the Vader thing that much. And what little I've seen of Maul, I've always enjoyed watching Maul more than watching Vader. So on a personal level, I'm going to take Maul all the way to the end. And I think that for popular vote, I think Maul could pull it out. So I'm going to go out on a limb. I know I'm probably going to end up being wrong on this, but I'm going to say Maul.
Cool.
And the final quarter here, we have Kylo Ren versus Jango Fett, Count Dooku versus Captain Phasma, Boba Fett versus General Hux, and General Grievous versus Agent Callus. Lou, Kylo Ren versus Jango Fett.
Let's see. For the popular vote, I said Jango.
Really?
I'm kind of going out on a limb there because I'm not, I don't know. I mean, I think he had a lot of popularity after the prequels, but obviously with so much Force Awakens stuff out there, I have a feeling I'm probably going to lose this as far as the popular vote goes, but I'll stick with my numbers here and pick Jango.
Okay.
Personally, though, I did take Kylo Ren. I think that as a bad guy, I know we're going to get more of Kylo, and I like what I've seen so far, so I took him over Jango.
Okay. Chris, what about you?
I have Kylo in both personal and popular, but now that I'm thinking about it, I know there were people that had problems with Kylo as a character in The Force Awakens. And for me personally, I had a problem with Kylo. I didn't like him until I saw the movie a second and third time. So I really don't know if I can judge him, what I think the audience will pick. But I think Kylo is a new character and it's a new villain. And he's so popular that he's all over everything pretty much. So I think he'll beat out Jango.
All right. I agree. I think the popular vote will be for Kylo Ren. For personal, this is probably one of my hardest matchups. I am a big, big fan of Jango Fett. I've always been a fan of Boba Fett, but I've always preferred Jango over Boba, both as a character and just the aesthetics of the uniform and the armament. I'm a big fan of Mandalorians. This is another one where I would love to just abstain instead. Man, this is so hard. Cause I kind of like Kylo Ren. I'm with you, Chris. It took me a couple of viewings to really, get into the character. I've never been quite the diehard fan that I know Paul Herman is. but man, and the clock is ticking. I'm going to go with Jango Fett as my personal pick. Dang it.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
Dang it. I shouldn't have done that. Okay. All right. Well, Count Dooku versus Captain Phasma. I lost track of who's up next.
Lou,
I think you're going next.
Sure, I'll take it. Let's see. For the popular vote, I took Phasma.
I think that even though we didn't see a lot of her on screen, there was so much build up to that character. I mean, The Force Awakens, she wasn't quite as visible as BB-8 in marketing stuff, but she was definitely out there. So I think she will take the popular vote. And on my personal one, I took her as well, too. I think that even though we didn't learn a lot about her, I'm intrigued. I want to know more. I'm looking forward to having a lot more about her in episode 8. So I am taking her to go personally as well.
Okay. Chris, what about you?
If you would have asked me between Dooku and Phasma before The Force Awakens came out, I would say Phasma like 90 to 10. But I think this will be closer than we might expect. But I'm going to go with Captain Phasma for both personal and popular. But my only side note is don't be surprised if it's neck and neck.
I agree with you there. I think that Captain Phasma has a lot of potential, but hasn't lived up to it yet. I think that that character will, just hasn't happened yet, whereas Count Dooku has had more character development. Still, for popular vote, I'm going to go with Captain Phasma. And for my personal vote, I'm basically voting against Count Dooku. Like, it's automatically the other character. I've never liked Dooku. So... yeah, I'm going to choose Captain Phasma for both the personal and the popular vote. Chris, Boba Fett versus General Hux.
Okay, so for popular vote, I'm going to say Boba Fett because the Boba Fett fanboys will just come out and, you know, dominate.
You don't have to say it like it's an insult. Man. Oh, okay.
But the personal pick I'm going to choose is Hux.
Wow. Okay. All right. For me personally, I wish that Jango Fett and Boba Fett were reversed. It would make the decision-making a lot easier. still, though, I was not impressed with General Hux as a character. I'm going to pick Boba Fett in both cases for this one.
Hmm.
Lou?
I'm pretty much right along the same lines you are there. I really wanted to like Hux more than that I did in The Force Awakens. I thought it could have been a really strong character. It just didn't seem to be that way at the end of the day when it's all said and done. So Boba will take the popular vote, and Boba takes my personal vote as well.
All right, and for the final one, General Grievous versus Agent Kallus. I think I'm up for this one. I kind of feel like Agent Kallus is a good character, not good as in good versus evil, but he's a well-made character. He's a fine character, but that's it. Like, he's not a great character. He's a good character. General Grievous, though, I think is not. I had high hopes for General Grievous when I first saw him. In fact, I first saw him as a bit of leaked footage at Celebration 3, the fight between him and Obi-Wan, and my jaw hit the floor. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. And then as a character, he just constantly fell flat. So, I don't think the Clone Wars did anything to redeem him of that. I'm just not impressed. So I'm going to say Agent Kallus in both cases, almost just out of principle. Lou? Lou, you still there? He was on mute.
I was caught on mute. Sorry about that. I guess I got to repeat everything I just said. I can change my... No.
You can.
Like you, I really wanted to like Grievous more than I think I do personally, but I think that he's still got enough out there as far as popularity goes that he will take the popular vote. But on my personal one, I took Hux. Kallus. Because I like his character in the Clone War, in Rebels. I think he's not there yet for me to say he's an awesome character, but I think he has a lot of potential. He's definitely the person in place that makes me feel
like, yeah, you know, he's doing the right things as far as what he believes in by the Empire, and he's menacing enough that I like him as a character.
All right. Okay, so closing out the bracket, Lou, why don't we take it? We've got the Kylo Ren versus Jango Fett and Count Dooku versus Captain Phasma.
Let's see here. So, in my popular vote, I have Jango versus Phasma, and I took Jango, and Boba versus Grievous. I took Boba, and then Boba versus Jango, which I thought was an interesting matchup. I think Boba takes it on the popular vote, so he's in my final four against Vader. For my personal one, I have, let's see, Kylo and Phasma. I think Kylo takes that popular for my personal one. And then Boba versus Kallus. As much as I like Kallus, Boba takes that just because he's a much better character. And Kylo versus Boba, personally, I'm going to say Kylo. Just because I like new characters, I'm going to go with that. So
okay, so for the popular vote, you've got...
On my personal one, it's Vader versus Kylo Ren.
Okay. All right, and between those, Vader versus Kylo Ren.
For personal, I took Vader.
All right.
And on the popular one, I have Vader versus Boba Fett, and I took Boba.
Interesting. All right, Chris, what about you?
All right, well, first, I didn't mention my Grievous versus Kallus.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
No. Let's go ahead and do that.
I picked for both popular and personal Kallus, mainly because I agree Grievous had so much potential, and then he just fell completely flat. Like, if Grievous was just in the original Clone Wars micro series, it'd be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
But
that was probably...
Revenge of the Sith, that was just terrible.
You know, that micro series is probably the best depiction of Grievous.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right, so
for the rest of my bracket, I have, I'll do popular first. Kylo beating Jango, Phasma beating Dooku, Boba Fett beating Hux, and Kallus beating Grievous. And then... Kylo beating Phasma, Boba Fett beating Kallus, Fett beating Kylo, and then Vader beating Fett. And then for personal, I have Kylo beating Jango, Phasma beating Dooku, Hux beating Fett, and Kallus beating Grievous. And then Kylo over Phasma and Kallus over Hux. Then I have Kylo beating Kallus, and then beating Darth Maul in the final four.
All right. Okay, I've got Kylo for the popular vote versus Phasma. I'm going to go with Kylo. And for both personal and popular, I've got Fett versus Kallus. I'm going to say Fett. For the personal... Against Jango Fett and Phasma, I would choose Jango. So we've got Kylo versus Boba and Jango versus Boba. In both cases, Boba Fett's going to lose. For me, the personal is going to be Jango Fett, and the popular would be Kylo Ren. So it'd be Vader against each of them. I would say Kylo's going to beat Vader, and in my personal opinion, I would put Jango over Vader. So, down to the final two, Lou, for popular and for personal, your light side versus dark side, who are you going to pick?
Let's see. I have the same for both, as I said. I did say I had the same for both. So, I'm going to say BB-8. BB-8 takes it over Boba in the popular vote, and BB-8 takes it over Vader in my personal one. I think BB-8 is just such a popular character right now, and I personally love BB-8. That I can't vote against him.
All right. BB-8 takes it for Lou. Chris, what about you?
All right. Either matchup, I have Rey winning for both personal and popular. And did I have for I can't remember. For personal, I have Kylo beating Darth Maul. But for popular, did I have... I know I had Kylo or Fett in there and Vader beating Fett, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. I still think Rey will beat Vader. So regardless of personal or popular, I have Rey as the winner.
Okay. I misspoke earlier. I said Vader, and I meant to say Darth Maul, because I had Darth Maul as my pick for both personal and popular. Mm. I still would have had Kylo and Jango beating Darth Maul either way. So I also had Rey for the light side. So for popular vote, between Rey and Kylo Ren, I would pick Rey. And for personal, between Rey and Jango Fett, I would pick Rey. So.
Wow, so unanimous light side wins for all of us, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of surprised, man.
I'm usually a dark side kind of guy, so.
Yeah, you are. I'm a little shocked, Lou. A little shocked and disappointed. Of course, you did pick the inhuman light side character as your winner, so.
He gave a thumbs up. Come on.
I know. It is pretty awesome.
How do you vote against that?
So I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
And it can't be a character that you picked. So, Lou, you can't say BB-8.
Okay.
If you had to pick a character from both the light side and the dark side that would surprise everyone and make it to, let's just say, the final four, who would it be? So basically your Cinderella team, your Cinderella character.
If I had to pick one that I didn't pick to go through to the final four?
Yes.
I would have to say... Oh, boy, that's tough.
Both light side and dark side.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I don't think it'd be a Cinderella story, but just because I didn't pick her, I'd say Rey, I think, would be a valid choice to go through. But a real Cinderella, I'd probably say Sabine on the light side. And on the dark side, God, a real Cinderella would be probably, maybe... the seventh sister, I'll say.
Hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
Eric, what about you?
For me, on the light side, R2-D2 seems like too obvious a choice. I'm going to pick Finn. I think Finn's going to have a hard time winning against BB-8 when it comes down to that. But yeah, I'd probably pick Finn. On the dark side, I really don't think there is one. I mean, maybe Asajj, I guess, just because she does have a cult following. She is a well-developed character, and in her quarter of the brackets, I think that she's a strong contender. I think she could beat Maul, and she could beat Vader, and I think those are the only other, like, those are the two to beat in that section of the brackets. So I guess she'd be my choice. What about you, Chris?
Well, I kind of want to say BB-8, but I'm not going to, because I feel like that's a little too obvious.
Yeah.
So I would say Poe. And I say Poe because he is, while you might not think of him as a Cinderella type character, based on the matchups alone, he has a really tough road. So he has to beat Leia, probably Rey, probably BB-8, but even really anybody in that section would be incredible if he actually would win. So I'm going to go with Poe for the light side. And then for the dark side, normally I would say Darth Maul, but I picked Darth Maul. So I will say Captain Phasma.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Phasma's a good Cinderella choice.
Yeah. I feel like Phasma, the fans of Phasma are more fans of what she may end up becoming.
Right.
Than anything else. She's kind of like the Boba Fett, only without like the unique cool armor. Instead, it's just like a cool variant armor. Like it's, I don't know. I feel like they were trying to make her the Boba Fett of the series, and they kind of partially succeeded. But I don't know. I think they have a ways to go. But I can see her like maybe pulling out a enough of a fan following to get through.
If Phasma has a really strong showing in episode 8 or even 9, but especially episode 8, I think that will make her performance in episode 7 a lot better just because we will have understood the buildup.
Yeah, no, I think you're correct. I think you're right there. Well, that's it. Those were our picks. Some were pretty easy and some were really kind of tough. I know I had an issue with the Jango Fett versus Kylo Ren, and then I had between R2, Sabine, and Hera. Those were kind of difficult. And then Rey versus BB-8, I know for me that was another difficult one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but there were some strange matchings this time around. Some mm-hmm. difficult and some that I wish hadn't been set up the way they were, but... it is what it is. Possibly not as bad as some of the previous years, though. I remember last year's was kind of like I almost wanted to just make up my own. So, but that's it. This is going to wrap up maybe one of the longest episodes of Echo Base we've had in a really, really long time, about an hour and 45 minutes so far. But we want to hear what you guys are picking for your brackets. You don't have to go through the whole thing, but if you could give us like your top four and then how they break down into the final winner, we would love to hear that. And we would love to kind of go through and kind of survey the results and get a little bit of a sampling of our audience and see how they voted. Of course, we're going to get all of the results on April, is it April 5th, I think it was?
I think so, yeah.
So, you know, we'll know the final results then. But in the meantime, we'd like to know how you guys plan to vote. So send us emails, echobase@randomchatter.com. That's the best way to get in touch with us. You can also find us on Facebook. Chris, I'm putting Facebook in your hands, so better you than me. If you head over to facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, that is where you'll find our random chatter page for Facebook. Also, Twitter. You know, I posted more on Twitter today across the Echo Base podcast account, the Random Chatter account, and my own personal account at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. I posted more on Twitter today than I think in the last 2 years combined.
I was very proud of you, Eric.
Yes, I was, and I probably got a lot of people unfollow me for spamming. I don't know. But that's where you can find us on Twitter. Echo Base Podcast is the one for this show. A lot of our Star Wars specific stuff will go there. Random Chatter, we're going to be reposting a lot of general entertainment news and items like that. And then me personally, I just gave up mine. Chris, what's your personal Twitter account?
I'm the Curse of Chris.
All right, and Lou?
Just my name, Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
All right, and of course you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com, including all of the great shows by Jay and Josh. Jay, of course, from Jedi Journals, but he does podcasts for Arrow and Flash, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just started up again tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday, March 8th, so this would be a great time to jump on and check out that podcast, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, if you have not already been listening. It's a great jumping on point. So check those out. We would love it if you tell people about the show, let people know about the new home over on the Random Chatter Podcast Network, and be sure to find us in iTunes. Leave us reviews there. Tell your friends about us. Join us live every Tuesday night starting at approximately 9 p.m., sometimes 9:30 p.m., Eastern time. You can find us over at randomchatter.com/live. We've had some people asking about Patreon. We will have that up and running soon. And that is going to be it for this episode of Echo Base. Once again, do not forget to send us your picks for This Is Madness. We would love to know who you picked. That is it for this week, though. We are signing off from Echo Base. Until next week, take care, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
The Force will be with you, always.